Hey, we're gonna be in John chapter 20 this morning. You've heard a little bit of it already, and the things we've said and the things we've prayed. If you don't have a Bible, we've provided one in front of you. It starts on page 1052, and we're going to be starting in verse 19, but I just want you to kind of just put your finger there, and I just want everybody just right now, can you just look up here for a second? Just look up here. All right. It's not hokey stuff. I just want you to breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth. Ready? This morning, I said this earlier, I want this morning to be a morning of peace for you. I want this morning to be a morning of peace for you. And our craziness, it seems like there's very few of those. And so this morning, I really just want the peace of God to rest on you. Our theme this morning is It Happens. And all of us have kind of It Happened moments in our lives. Right now, when I say it happened, there's thoughts that are going on in your head. It could be like that legendary night or that crazy thing that happens. Or it could be like several years ago when my wife and I were preparing to have our first child. Apparently, you understand what I'm talking about. I have a tendency to just really enjoy life, and I just think life is fun, and you just need to enjoy it. So I have a tendency just to, like, be silly, crazy, ridiculous, these kind of things. And as we were approaching the birth of our first son, he was a little bit late. We went to the doctor. They did some checks, and they found out that he was breech. So me, Mr. Silliness, Mr. Loves to Have Fun, my child was coming out butt first. Let that land. Coming out butt first. And so they tell us, hey, listen, we're going to have to do a C-section. And we weren't prepared for any of these kinds of things. They don't prepare you for any of this kind of stuff. You take a couple classes, and then all of a sudden they're cutting your wife open. And they're moving organs around. And I'm sitting in the room, and all of a sudden I hear, what's that? And those are not words you want to hear when your wife is cut open and they put a screen up. So I'm like up over. What are you talking about? And the nurses are grabbing me, trying to get me to sit back down. And then I realize, wow, that's really cool. What's all that? They're moving organs and there goes her bladder. And I'm like, wow. I did not see that in Lamaze class. The what's that was, there was a staple left over from a previous surgery in there. And I'm like, oh, okay. And he's like, yeah, it's no big deal. Sometimes we find socks, old tennis shoes, rackets, all kinds of stuff. At this point, I'm ready to jump over and knock him in the face. I guess my punch isn't strong. And then out comes this blue thing, and it's crying, and you're looking at it. And it was this really, like, surreal moment as I'm looking at this tiny person just laying there. And they're saying, here's your son. And this, all, I mean, this thing settles in on you where you're like, what in the world did I get myself into? And the next 2 days are just a blur. I mean, people are coming and visiting and high-fiving us and shaking our. It was the day before Thanksgiving, so we had Thanksgiving in the hospital, which is stellar. And then you're getting ready to leave, and you're like, ooh, time out. One of you are coming with us, right? Like, you're going to come home with us and tell us what to do. You take all these classes to drive a car. You got to wait 6 months to get a permanent license. And they'll let you birth a child and take it home in 2 days. I do not know what is wrong with this picture, but I was terrified. I was terrified. And it happened. I became a parent. I became a parent of a tiny person. And then there's these it happened moments in our lives that are maybe not so joyous. I liken a child to like a roller coaster, right? It's like 98% scared and 2% excited, or reverse. Maybe it's 2% excited and 98% scared. I'm not sure, but it's like, but occasionally in our lives, there's these moments. There's these it happened moments that are not like that at all. And they're terrifying. The disciples were traveling around with this guy, Jesus. We've been talking about him for the last 5 weeks. We talked about how he was present wherever he went. He owned wherever he was at. We talked about how he is a sage, and he spoke truth and knowledge and wisdom. And we talked about how he was empowered by the Spirit. We talked about how he was the protester, how he was our advocate for our lives. We talked about how he was the scapegoat, and he took upon our sin once and for all. And on a Friday, 2,000 years ago, the Son of God hung up on a cross and accepted every screwed up thing that Jeff Salveson has ever done. Every crazy, ridiculous, dumb thing that you've ever done, or thought, or perceived, or known. And he wore it. And he willingly stayed up there for you and for me. And he died. 3 days later, Mary goes to the tomb, and it's open. And it happened. Every single thing that Jesus said came true. But look where the disciples are in verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear, for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you've forgiven anyone their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive anyone their sins are not forgiven." The stone is open. Jesus is not there. They're told he rose, and they don't see him. So what do? They immediately run back to the house and they lock the door, because the people that killed him is probably coming after them. And Jesus enters into that picture and he says, "Peace." He wants to enter into your picture this morning and give you peace. Their response was fear. And not fear, "Oh, I'm a little bit afraid." Terror. Terror had taken over. And Jesus' response was peace. And then when they see him, and they see his hands, and they see his side, and they realize, wait a second, time out, the guy who was dead is now alive. They are overjoyed. And Jesus' exact same response as before is peace. He wants to give you peace in your terror, and he wants to give you peace in your joy. Let that land for a second. Verse 24, it says, "Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nails, the nail marks in his hands, and I put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." I don't know why Thomas wasn't there. Everybody's there but Thomas. I don't know why. Maybe he was scared out of his ever-living mind. Maybe he was terrified and said, "I don't want to be anywhere close to these people who are following Jesus because Jesus is dead." Every single thing that he ever said to me is a complete sham. Every single thing that he said is a complete lie. And then his friends come up to him and say, "No, he's alive." And he does, listen, he does what every single other person, if we're honest, would do. "Unless I see the marks, I cannot believe this. I can't." Forever, throughout all eternity, he is known as Doubting Thomas. I would call him human. He's just a normal person that needs to see that what Jesus said was true. I just need to see it. A week later, his disciples were in the house, and Thomas was there, and the doors were locked again. Apparently, after seeing Jesus the first time, the disciples, seeing his hands and his feet, and him breathing on them the Holy Spirit, apparently it didn't quite take, because they're back in the room, and the doors are locked again. Jesus came and stood in the middle of them while the doors were locked. I can't imagine. Imagine you're having dinner this afternoon, sitting at your table, eating food, and all of a sudden, boom, there's another person at the table that you didn't prepare for. Jesus jumps right into the middle of the scenario, and he says again, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe." And Thomas's response is, "My Lord and my God." Jesus gives Thomas the exact experience that he was looking for, but he calls him to more. Stop doubting and believe. Move beyond this experience towards faith. Thomas is way more than just seeing my hands and my feet. It's way more than seeing these marks in my body. It's way more than this. I want you to believe. Let your peace, let my peace rest on you. And then this amazing, really cool part that Jesus throws in for you and me. Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." And then this little nugget. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not recorded in this book. But they are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, that by believing, you may have life in his name. Let me say this again. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, that by believing you may have life in his name. As I look at this story, as I watch this scenario play out, as I read these words and I hear them over and over again, I really start to question this Doubting Thomas scenario. I see the God of the universe come in human form and meet one of us exactly where we needed to be met. Thomas is just a normal person with normal feelings and normal emotions and normal thoughts, and he just needed to see Jesus. And Jesus met him exactly where he needed to be met. And then it says, other signs and wonders were performed, but they were not written about in this book. But the story of Thomas was. Other signs and wonders. God, Jesus did all kinds of other awesome things, but they weren't written about. What was written about was that Jesus met somebody exactly where they needed to be met. And it happened for Thomas. The resurrection happened, and it happened for Mary, and it happened for the disciples, and it happened for Thomas, and Jesus wants that to happen for you. We got home that first night, 2 days after giving birth to tiny person, and he was Mr. Peace the whole way through the hospital. There must have been 50, 60 people that handled him. He did not make a peep. You didn't. You didn't make a peep. We get him home, and we broke him. We laid him down in this little bassinet next to our bed, and the wah went off. And it did not stop. And Annette was exhausted, and she conked out and slept through it all. And I'm sitting there, and visions are popping into my head of me on Dateline for doing something horrible to my child. And I stood up, and I walked over to the bassinet, and I looked in, and as he was screaming, it happened. I looked at this tiny little person laying there, screaming and yelling, and I thought, I would do anything for him. I would fight Ronda Rousey, sword-wielding ninjas, and small chickens for this child. Not necessarily in that order. I would do anything for this tiny person. And something shifted in my soul. The words on the page called the Bible shifted something in my soul, and I understood in a different way the God of the universe, our Father, offering his child up for you and for me on the cross. And I would gladly do that for my child. And he did it for you. He did it for you. It happened on the first day of the week 2,000 years ago. And it happened in the lives and the souls of the disciples. It happened in the women who followed and served and anointed. And it happened in Thomas. And Jesus wants it to happen for you. It's a very simple message. We're going to take communion to close out the service. And this is what I want. If it has not happened for you, hear me. If this story that I believe is real has not happened for you, as we come forward to take communion, we're going to have three sets of prayer people. I'm going to be standing right here with my buddy Robert. Come and talk to us. Let us pray for you. We're going to have people standing over here, ready and willing to pray for you. And people standing over here, ready and willing to pray for you. You have two options. You can come and talk to us and we can pray, and then you can take communion and rejoice. Or you can come forward, take communion, identify with what he has done for you, and then go and pray. But do not leave this morning without allowing it to happen for you. We'll pray for the other stuff too. But if it hasn't happened for you, come. Would you come? Elders, will you guys come forward?